Thank you, my brother Plika, for the reading of God's Word. You do well if you have your Bible and the book of Hosea. And just we go back to the study of each book of the Bible with the intention to understand what the Bible is about, and in a moment of need to have a source of information. If you log this information, then you know where to go. I am preparing for you a listings of each book and also the topic that you can find in that book, so that eventually will be yours, and in case of need, you can look into that book. If you turn to Joshua chapter 21 for a moment as a way of introduction, in verse 43, this is what I call day one of Israel. The scriptures that we're going to study are within 490 years of Israel life, and I want you to locate your mind in history. In the book of Joshua, in chapter 21, verse 43, when Joshua finished to deliver all the territory to Israel, this is what the scripture says. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto the fathers, and they possess it and dwell therein. So that to me is year one. 490 years after this, Israel was judged and brought to captivity for 70 years. The question is, why? Turn your Bible now to the book of Leviticus, all right? You were in Joshua, you had to go to the left on your Bible, the book of Leviticus, in chapter 25, verse 3 and 4. Remember, in the book of Leviticus, we have a pictorial picture on how to live a wholesome life. And there were some commandments that you must follow or you will be punished on. Look at the commandment that God placed there in chapter 25, verse 3 and verse 4. Leviticus 25, verse 3 and verse 4. God gave a national council. No an option to vote by the Senate, just a straight council. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and in 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyards and gather in the fruit thereof. Verse 4, but in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest. The word Sabbath means rest. It should be a rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. All right. God has a very practical system of getting rich. He said, you make money every 6 years and you lend money and all this and so forth. But on the 7th year, all is forgotten. Everybody starting number zero. And the land needs to rest. Now, it's not that the earth needs to rest. More than 3 months, the earth doesn't need to rest, but they rest a year. Now, so the nations around will look and say, what are these people? They're not planting. They're not doing anything. Nobody owes anything anymore to anybody. Everybody started zero again. What happened? Well, that was God's law. Now I want to bring you Hosea into the picture, but I had to bring history. Here is the part. Year one, remember, that was in Joshua 21. We had one nation. First, Saul, king. Second king, David. Third king, his son Solomon. When Solomon died, his son took over, but he raised the taxes. And then the country is split in two kingdoms. Judah on the south and Israel in the north. So when you read in the Bible Israel, you have to be careful if it's the nation as a whole, or that nation in the north. All right, so remember that. There were two kingdoms. Now, we study this, and Israel lived 490 years before captivity, and they did not respect the Sabbath 1 year. So if you have 490, and every 7 years you have to stop, you divide 490 by 7, all right, and that gives you 70, is that right? 70. 70 times 7, 490. Israel cheat God 70 years. Like some people cheat God their tithe for years and years, and then something catastrophe happened, and they don't know why. This God is very serious about this and never canceled this. He's very serious about this. I learned it from when I was young. I learned in a very difficult way. My cousin, 12 years older than me, I was playing soccer and making good money in the 50s. And I don't put money in the church. So my cousin was the treasurer of the church. He came and grabbed me by the tie, because I even went to play soccer with tie and suit. They grabbed me by the tie and said, "Oh, you put the money or I tell you my father." His father was the pastor of the church. "I know how much you make the paper say." "Oh, I got all the checks. I want all the money," he said. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he did it. I never lose a penny in my life. 70 years they cheat. So what do you think God will do? God will take Israel 70 years in captivity. Remember Jeremiah? 70 years in captivity so the land can rest. If God said, "This is what you do. If you don't do it," God waits, waits, waits. And finally God said, "That's it. You're going to do what I said." Wow. Now, Isaiah came into the picture 70 years before the 490. All right? And he preached to them. Nobody was saved. Nobody listened. I remember Dr. McCormick telling me, "Look, our church looks like Isaiah. You preach and preach and preach and nobody respond." But Isaiah never quit. All right? Then after him came Jeremiah. This is on Judah. Not on Israel on the north, but on Judah only. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And he was 30 years there, and then they were taken into captivity. But Jeremiah was 30 years in the land, and he saw the desolation. All right? Now came the whole Israel from the north and Judah from the south are in captivity. Do you think that God will abandon them? No, always God had a preacher. Remember the first preacher that he sent? Ezekiel. Ezekiel was commanded, was a kindergarten preacher. He needed to take all his clothes nude and said, "This is how you are." Imagine if I take all my clothes and "This is how you are before the Lord." God is funny what he did. He walked in the streets nude. He did all kinds of things to tell Israel, "This is what you are before God." He did it. Then after 40 years came a man of super intelligence, a super genius in government. He served four kings. He was a prime minister in four kingdoms. Daniel is his name. And he served the Lord and gave Israel a timetable. A little hope. There is a timetable for you. Now, today, we talk all these Sundays, we talk about Judah. Today, we go a little back in time, maybe by the year 390, and we're going to talk about Israel. When God took Israel, the 10 tribes, into captivity, did he warn them? Yes, he did. The first prophet is Hosea. So you do well if you go to the book of Hosea. Hosea was the first, what the Bible, what people call the minor prophet. You know, if you're a prophet for God, you're no minor, but the people in theology, they divide that. This prophet name, really the translation of the name Hosea is Joseph. And Joseph means salvation. All right? Hosea was a young preacher in the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, and he was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Amos. He lived, as we are told in verse 1, look at here, in the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahab, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So he lived on four kings on Judah and one king on Israel. Now you know, he lives in an area where there were kings in the south and one king in the north. All right. The only thing we know about him is that he was the son of Beri. You see that in verse 1? The son of Beri. Now, he was very familiar with the area. So how do you know this preacher was from here and there? Well, you read the book and you see what cities he's mentioned. And then you look into your Bible and you see where are those cities. And all those cities were in the north. He mentioned Nadab. And he mentioned many other cities. They are particularly on the north of Israel. Now, it is not explicitly stated, his ministry, but to me, I have no doubt, he was serving the nation of Israel in the north, the 10 tribes of the north. He was a warning to those nations. Now, politically, before I give you the message, I want you to, you know, politics is everywhere. And the political aspect of Israel is that Israel, at that moment, the prosperity during the long reign of Jeroboam was impressive. Israel was like the 50s to the 70s, 1950 to the 1990 in the United States of America. The prosperity reached the heavens of this nation. But Israel worshiped Baal and was also impressive how they left the Lord. Let me show it to you. Chapter 4. And look with me, verse 10, all the way to verse 12, just to tell you how it's nothing new in America that we have left God. It's nothing new. This is the example. Let me read it for you. Chapter 4, verse 10. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Is it the cause of problems in a country? You have ceased obeying the Lord. Now, verse 11. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. They were asking the idols they have in the walls for counsel. All right? And their staff inform them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. So spiritually, Israel have, we have the synagogue and we have this and the other, but they did nothing about it. Nothing about it. They deny the Lord. In my vacation, I promised to do three or four things myself. First, to read what I do ill in the morning. Then not to sleep. I try to be like a young fellow that I was. I sleep only 2 hours of my life and I keep on going. So I swim 4 or 5 hours. And then I meet with Raquel during the day. Raquel, we have 2 bedrooms. That's very good when you're old. And so Raquel was in her bedroom. I was in mine. Then I quickly listen. And when I see her breathing, all right, I smooth into my living room. I have a super a TV to see my games in Germany and another place. And I had the voice of Germany. You know, it's nice to listen to other, it's a fresh your language. And then lo and behold, Mexico required that every TV corporation should have 1 hour of religious program. So at 3:45 in the morning, come this religious program from America in Spanish, from a lawyer, and he bring pastors on it. And he brought the pastor from the tiny Charlie Hours and pastor from giant churches. And he asked the question, who is your authority? And the little pastor, little Mexican pastor said, my authority is the Bible, the Word of God. I take my orders from God. He said, well, what about marriage? And he opened the Bible. So what about homosexuality? He opened Romans 1. What about this? He went very sharp. So he turned to the other pastors and said, are you agreed with him? No, he said. Where you get your Your orders. He said, we get it from the church order in Holland, said one man. And the other guy said, well, we get it from the bylaws of the church. That we. Well, who made the Bible, said the preacher. And the preacher don't answer. He went to 2 Timothy 3:16 and read God, breath, and so on. So I guess, said the lawyer, the Bible claimed written by God. Now, who wrote your orders? And he said, well, the church board and so on, 447. And who wrote yours? Well, our church 20 years ago and so on. So, well, this guy has an old book. He claims that God wrote it. Oh, yeah, that's right. But we rewrite. And so one of the men said, you know, it's like America. The Constitution was written in the 1700, but the interpretation of the Constitution changed every year. And so the man, the lawyer, an unbeliever, he said, how do you interpret your Bible? He said, well, the Holy Spirit reveals you what it is. And who's the Holy Spirit? He said, who's this, that guy? You know, he's an ignorant. He's a lawyer. He's nothing. And so he's saying, who is that man? He said, well, let me read it for you. And he read and read. He said, well, I'm okay. Well, who gave you orders? And so the man concluded. He said, well, Christianity is in a mess, he said. You know what the problem is? And the pastors looked at him. The problem is you don't know where your orders come from. Except that this guy knows it's from God, so I stay with him. And I was jumping and drinking water. The water in Mexico, beautiful. All right. That was Israel, don't we? We read it clearly. Look at this. It was a mess. A real mess. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase. Because they cease obeying God. All right? Now, that was their problem. Now, the ministry of this prophet. He said that God, if you read the book of Hosea, said God is going to raise the Assyrian nation and punish the people of Israel. And that fierce, ruthless army will sweep across the land like a scourge. And Jeremiah testified that that happened. You know, the people pay very little attention to Hosea. And they say the Hosea God must be pretty vengeful and a very bad God. Like some pastors say today. They say this. And you read this in the book. If God is really a God of love, why does he let things get in such a mess? So they are blaming God for what they're doing. They say, how could God of love punish? Like it, young people, when your parents say no, that's a harder thing to do for a parent. To say no, we don't go that road or we don't do that. I was upset. I wanted to go up to play soccer outside in the field. And my mother said, no, you have to study. Oh, why? But you love God? I love God. I was always arguments with my mother until she swing her face. And that's it. Then the argument. But you see, it's very hard, don't we, to say no. When you're a boss, it's very hard to say no. But the line has to be drawn. So, it's like today. It's a book like today. Now, God instructed Hosea, and our brother read chapter 1, to marry a promiscuous woman named Gomer. Look at in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord began to speak by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry, and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. God wanted to give, again, the Old Testament, this is not for today, this is a picture of, so the people will see that here is a prophet of God and is marrying a prostitute. All right? Then, the prophet found his domestic life a dramatization of the unfaithfulness of God's people. God is trying to say to Israel, this is what you are. Spiritually, you marriage and harlotry. This is clearly, look at in verse 4 and 5, we have the first children. The Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel. You know, that means destruction. And look at in verse 6. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her Lo Ruhamah. No mercy. Lo means no. Lo Ruhamah. No mercy. And then look in verse 8 and 9. He said, now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo Ami, which means you are not my people. You do not belong to me. So God was trying to shock the people of Israel into realizing how far they have fallen away from God. So what was Hosea's message? During his half century of prophecy, 50 years he preached, he repeatedly echoed that a threefold message. When you read the book, I did a summary of what he said. Three things he said. Number one, God abhors the sin of his people. Take a look in chapter 1 and in verse 2. To sin as a believer is equal as prostitution in the eyes of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. These will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping their God. I read it and I panic. Each time we sin, in the eyes of God, is like doing prostitution. Now, when you see the seriousness of that, that stop you. I hope they stop you. Secondly, to sin as a believer is equal as lack of knowledge in the eyes of God. Look at chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1 and let's go to verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth of mercy or knowledge of God in the land. There is no truth of knowledge of God in the land. Most of my entertainment on the swimming pool after when people, I go very early so that nobody is there. Then when the Americanos come in, it's full American, 100% Americans where I go. And after I do my 3 hours of, I had to do 100 meters, 3 hours. So because I eat a lot, so I had to get it off. And, I met with the Americans people. And when they learned that I was a pastor, I said, I'm just a little pastor. Oh, they don't want nothing to do with you. He said, you still believing in God? And they have their booth drinking as far as I can. And I can't believe it. I said, are you Americano? Yeah. Oh, wow. So what happened? So I never thought Americans will do that. Oh, yeah. We are free from God, said one man, loud. So I will not speak too loud in heaven like that. You see, they had no fear of God. If you look in verse 6, same chapter, in verse 6, said, my people, and I like the King James translation. Not the word perish, but it's the word destroy. Pastor Greg and I have shared that yesterday, this verse. My people are destroyed for what? For the lack of knowledge. Many people, you talk to people, say, who wrote the Bible? They say to you. Well, you said, you read it. The Bible tells you who wrote it. Every book has a signature of the writer. Here it is, 2 Timothy 3:16. Here it is. Oh, but he said it. Well, I buy a book in the store, and here's the signature of the man who wrote it. So I buy this book, and it's a signature of the man who wrote it. Nobody wants there is a lack of knowledge of the Bible. If we send missionaries to another country, we should send missionaries to America. God abhors the sin of his people. Period. Secondly, the second message is, when we sin without repentance, judgment is certain. Don't think you can get away. I cannot get away from my grandma's chocolate can. She put it high and so on, and I try But I, as I told you many times, I made a mistake. I give chocolate to my dog. And when my grandma was back, I was very nice and everything holy, but my dog was all with chocolate. And what happened? I said, well, look, the dog went over there. You know? You cannot get away with sin. Now let's look on it. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Impending judgment on Israel and Judah. Look at chapter 5. Hear these, O priests, take heed of house of Israel. See, he's not talking about the whole nation of Israel. He's talking about those 10 tribes. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. That was where the idols were. The revolters are deeply involved in a slaughter, though I rebuke them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is no hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in the midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testified to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbled with them. Now, God made the comment. It's not only you, nations of Israel, but the other two tiny nations here, Judah and Benjamin, they too, everybody forget about God. Amazing. Now, what doing that brings into your life? Look at, in chapter 10, and in verse 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says Israel's sin brings captivity. Chapter 10 in verse 4. They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. In other words, you cannot get away with your sin. There is no secret sin. Look at with me in verse 13, same chapter. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. You know what the answer was? And as I talk to people about the future of America, they say, well, we think in this way. I say, I don't want to hear what you think. I say, what do you think God thinks? Well, we are no longer believing in God. Over and over and over. I have not find one American believing in God in the land of Mexico, their embarkation. Amazing. And the place was full. So after the 3 or 4 days, they left me alone. So I enjoy with Raquel with our computers, both reading books. And even somebody will pass by and say, you're reading the Bible, don't you? No, no, I'm not reading the Bible. I'm reading something who wrote about the Bible. I don't want to hear that. So listen, when we sin and we have no repentance, you're going to be judged today also. Whatever it is, you're not faithful to his wife, you are not faithful to your husband, you are not doing the job as a parent to your children. It takes a lot of work to have children. A lot of work. I mean, that's what mothers, really, I adore mothers, because they have a job, I tell you, in their hands. I have great respect for mothers. You know, they have dedicated their life to that. That was their profession and their career, and I take my hat on it. Because without mothers, you have a nation without ideas. So we have here, God abhors the sin of his people. When we sin without repentance, God judges. And there is a third message. God would never completely reject his people. Ah, thank God. That's good news. God will never reject his people. Look with me in chapter 3 of Hosea and in verse 1, please. Look, chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me is Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. In other words, even though we were unbelievers, even though we care less about God, he cares for us. That is deep. That is deep. That is profound. You know, don't look over there. John 1, 11 and 12. The Bible said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, God said, well, okay, let the whole world go to hell. No, but as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. God, if you look to God, God will enable you to see him and to see his power. So God will never completely reject his people because his love is unconditional. 3, 1, and 4. Look at chapter 3, and we read verse 4. Now, because his call never ends. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. His call never ends. Chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has turned, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. His call never ends. Look at verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forward is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the later and former rain of the earth, which is the church. The later rain is the united Israel with the church. Amazing. Amazing. God, his call will never end. You cannot stop God calling people to be his people. Thank God. You are one of them and I'm one of them. God will never completely reject his people because God will never give us up. Look in chapter 11 and in verse 9. Chapter 11 and verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. So when God came, he came with Jesus. All right? I will not come back with terror. I will come back with Jesus. And when God will come again, will come with the glory of Jesus. Amazing. God will never completely destroy his people because God's loving kindness. Look in chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. Chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 20. I will betroth you to me forever. That's what we are, the bride of Christ. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Thank God that his strength and his power makes you and I to know the Lord. Otherwise, we will be like the people that I talked to you, that the Americanos who were in Mexico, who represent one from Tennessee, the other guy from Ohio, and the other guy from Michigan, and the other guy from all over the states. They come in over there to enjoy the Mexico sunshine and the good water of Mexico. And I tell you, they are without God. They have money, though. They have to spend good money there. But they have no God. God maybe has some of those people and will drill them. They never will forget there was a crazy pastor swimming back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Happy. And I have 5 bottles of water right there waiting for you. 3 water, and he'll go. Amazing. So that's the story of the Bible, isn't it? God loves you. That's the story of the Bible. Let me tell you this as a conclusion. At Bethlehem, God entered the slave market where the whole human race was putting itself up for auction, prostituting itself and its humanity to cheapen their life. God went into that place. And I was encouraged day after day to witness to these people because I tell you something, the whole world is in a slave market of prostitution, and God is loving those people to rescue them out, and you are the instrument like Hosea, the God is using. But on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. The full price for our freedom and brought us back to God. This is the story of God's love and God's heart for us. His loving desire to make of his people, the full person he intended you to be. You remember that text in the Bible, John 3:16. Now you understand John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, so that every one of you believing in him will not perish, but have eternal life. How long that love will last in me. You remember John 13 and verse 1? It said, I have loved my own who were in the world. And the Bible said, and he loved them to the end. Once God loves you, he never cuts the love. I'm going to ask you a question before I go into the Lord's Supper this morning. And the question I'm going to ask you is the same question that Jesus asked Martha. In John 11 and in verse 25, Jesus asked a question. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth of me, though you were dead, ye shall live. And then in verse 26, he said, everyone who believes in me will never die. He do not stop there. He says, Martha, do you believe this? So I want to ask you, here is God's love expressing the word of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Brother Greg, do you believe it? Elenita, you believe it? See, that's what counts. It's not how many times you come to church. It's not how many times you sing in the choir. It's not how many times you preach. It's how much you believe that Jesus took your place in Calvary cross. And Jesus asked the question, not me. Don't tell me that I cannot ask the question, because Jesus asked the question as a standard. Jesus is saying, do you believe it? And I said to you, you come to this church maybe for a long time. Do you believe it? You hear me on the air and you send me letters and email telling me how great I preach. But do you believe it? I care less what you said about my preaching. I care less about one thing. Do you believe it? Because if you do not believe it, you're going to hell. Our beautiful sister Angela, even though it was a panic moment, in legal matters and medical matters and all these, all came to an end when that Bible was placed on top of her hands so that it no longer moved. And the Lord took it. And the Lord took it. Her father said in the phone, 6:45, she's gone. I said, do you know where? He paused. I know where. She, the Bible said, absent in the body, present with the Lord. That's where she is. Oh, what a peace, he said. We no longer pray for Angela like the Mormons do. They pray for the dead. We don't have to pray. The Lord took it. We pray for the living. And if you have a time and prayer in your life, add to those things that you pray the name Rod. R-O-D as David. That's Angela's father. Her mother is a believer. So I ask, because I want to see one day, I want to baptize Rod. And it's possible. Why? Because the love of God is available. Not because we are smart, not because you are a doctor or whatever. It's because the love of God. That's the only thing that takes to become a believer. The love of God zeroing in your heart. May God bless you with a good response. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story from the Old Testament and pray that it touches our own heart and softens us. How we see the tenderness of your love, the irresistible nature of a love that waits and hurts and hungers and pursues. Lord, we pray that we may respond, that we may understand that no other answer can satisfy us. No other power can meet our need. No other love can heal our life. Lord, help us to return to you. Lord, help America to return to you. Lord, remembering that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore us by his grace. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.